Noor Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Ukraine is on a mission to secure an additional 20 billion euros from its allies. And after the G7 summit in France this week, it's closer to that goal. Ukraine Defence Minister Mykhailo Fedorov says this is the only way his country can end war with Russia.
The foundation of our future victory is innovations and technology, because we don't have a lot of people how Russia has. And we need to find an asymmetric approaches. Have to defeat Russia. And we found a lot of different solutions, and we will continue to do it.
Group of seven nations, including the US, UK, France, Germany, Italy, Japan and Canada, have agreed to increase support to Ukraine to end its war with Russia. French President Emmanuel Macron is praising Ukrainian resilience.
The balance of power has profoundly changed in recent months. Ukraine is advancing, resisting, and Russia is retreating. That's why we all agreed to increase the provision of air defense capabilities, additional systems and interceptors, as well as long-range capabilities.
The unanimous deal, which includes the United States, includes defense capabilities and the consideration of fresh sanctions against Russia. It signals a major turnaround for US President Donald Trump. Last year, he walked out of the G7 early, later saying it was Europe's role to protect Ukraine, not the United States' responsibility. In Evian, he took a harder line against Moscow.
Your offensive in war, you lose more.
President Macron recognized what he says is a very deep change in the US approach toward Ukraine.
How to tell you whether there will be a before and after, it's not for me to judge. It is the facts that will tell you. The Evian summit. What I can tell you is that there was a shift. There was an Evian moment, certainly on Ukraine.
President Trump, however, has downplayed any discord with Vladimir Putin, even praising him at the same summit for his neutrality in the United States' conflict with Iran.
Do you feel that Vladimir Putin is more responsible for the ongoing conflict in Ukraine?
Well, I don't want to comment on that because I'm trying to get it settled, and that doesn't make it easy.
The Netherlands has committed 250 million euros to Ukraine to procure Dutch-made drones, with Dutch Defence Minister Dylan Jasilgovs reporting the nation has contributed $1 billion to Ukrainian defence to date.
As Ukraine continues to successfully resist Russia's aggression, Putin is increasingly turning to brutal aerial attacks against Ukrainian cities. These attacks continue to take a terrible toll on innocent civilians. That is why air defense is more important than ever.
Despite not being part of the Group of Seven, India and Brazil were present at the summit, with the nation's respective president and prime minister meeting on the sidelines with Ukraine's President Zelensky, along with South Korean and Kenyan leaders. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni addressed a recommendation that one single envoy represent Europe in contact with Russia over the war.
I think that if we want to reach a result on this matter, I can tell you this. I believe it would be very difficult to put forward someone from one of the largest European countries. I think that proposing someone from one of those countries would make an agreement, from my point of view, more difficult. Therefore, I would turn towards the medium-sized powers of the European Union.
NATO Secretary Mark Rutte welcomed the news from the summit, saying that as the war drags into a fifth year, it's crucial for members to continue to support Ukraine.
Ukraine is demonstrating that the Russian war machine is not unstoppable and is shifting the dynamics on the battlefield. Together, allies have given billions in artillery and ammunition and aid, but it is crucial to continue this support to help Ukraine maintain its advantage.
As Ukraine was shoring up support for more defence, the EU announced it is scaling back its commitments to house refugees. the 27-nation union granted Ukrainians temporary protection after Russia's full-scale invasion in 2022, a measure rolled over several times and currently set to expire next March. In a letter to leaders ahead of a European summit later this week, EU chief Ursula von der Leyen signalled military-age Ukrainians could lose refugee protections. Russia, meanwhile, is accusing Ukraine of a deadly drone strike that hit a bus carrying Belarusian children on Wednesday. Russian investigators have opened a probe into the attack on a bus carrying 44 people, including 28 children. Ukraine's military says the claim is false. A day earlier, at least 4 people died in Russian attacks on cities in Ukraine's east and southeast that set fire to a residence and a shopping centre. Resident Natalia says she sheltered with her husband and children before a drone hit nearby.
My husband, the kids and I hid in one room. It's the one at the very end of our building, with other rooms surrounding it. We also grabbed some blankets, covered ourselves with them, and the next drone hit right in front of our building. The building just collapsed. It's gone.
Russia is also accusing Ukraine of another drone attack earlier this month, which it said killed 8 civilians and wounded 11 more in a Russian-controlled part of the Donetsk region in eastern Ukraine. Both sides deny targeting civilians. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has also voiced concerns over Russian aggression. Earlier this week, a Russian vessel fired warning shots near a British yacht in the English Channel, a move Mr. Starmer says was deeply concerning and reckless, but likely not a hostile act.
Of course, Russia's involved in a conflict in Ukraine where Russia is the aggressor in Europe, and Russia is responsible for wider proxy attacks across Europe, including in relation to the United Kingdom.
At the summit, Germany and Poland also signed a bilateral defence deal, with Polish Defence Minister Radoslaw Sikorski sharing Mr. Starmer's concerns of the threat posed by Russia beyond Ukraine.
We agree that Russia remains the most significant challenge to European security. We should increase sanctions pressure and consistently invest in our defence capabilities.
As the G7 met in Europe, Russia was courting support from Southeast Asia, hosting the Russia-ASEAN summit in Kazan. President Vladimir Putin meeting with Southeast Asian leaders, including the President of the Philippines and Prime Ministers of Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore and Vietnam, as well as the Sultan of Brunei. Addressing Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr., Mr. Putin signalled growing cooperation between the countries.
Clearly, we approach this milestone with a solid foundation of mutually beneficial cooperation built on good traditions, mutual respect and consideration of each other's legitimate interests. Last year, our trade turnover exceeded $500 million, and this is certainly far from the limit. There is potential for increasing supply volumes of both agricultural products and energy resources.
The Russia-ASEAN summit runs until Friday. Camille Bianchi, SBS News.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.